Before I proceed with my statement, I would like to take this opportunity, and in the spirit of Arusha Agreement, to sincerely apologize before the people of South Sudan. And because of the unnecessary and unbearable sufferings you, the people of South Sudan, and our beloved country have gone through in the last 24 months. These 24 months have been the longest and most difficult of my journey, the difficult months of my journey. Let me tell you, comrades, that I have, as a Christian, reconciled with myself. Which is an important step for all of us as one people and one nation to reach out to each other and reach a point of harmony and unity within ourselves and with our neighbors so that we make this extraordinary convention to be the historic and turning point at which to launch the process of national healing, forgiveness, truth and reconciliation within the overall framework of justice and accountability for our own actions as leaders of this great country, South Sudan. Full implementation of the agreement on the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan, or in South Sudan, is a prerequisite for restoring harmony and unity within ourselves and our great party. The agreement calls for the formation of a transitional government of national unity with an overall objective of laying a solid foundation for building resilient institutions of democratic governance. In this regard, the Arusha Reunification Agreement and the IGAD-mediated Addis Ababa Peace Agreement are complementary to each other. They are two faces of one of the same coin. Allow me, comrades, to elaborate on the key elements of the mandate of the SPLM-led government, of the SPLM-led transitional government of national unity, which are underpinned by the two agreements I have just mentioned. There are four components of this mandate, which are as follows. One is the restoration of social cohesion and sense of belonging and common destiny through a genuine change of our attitudes towards each other. Two, attainment of peace and security through a comprehensive reform of the security sector. Three, establishment of a system of responsibility and accountability by reforming the institutions of law and order. And four, creation of opportunities for achieving sustainable livelihoods for all the South Sudanese citizens through a comprehensive reform of our country and effective service delivery. This last point is fully illustrated in Chapter 4 of the Agreement on the Resolution of the Conflict in South Sudan. My dear comrades, the foundation of our social cohesion and sense of togetherness has been weakened by the 2-year violent conflict, and we cannot restore social cohesion and sense of togetherness without understanding the causes of that conflict in the first place. I would only mention 2 interrelated causes with the main objective of finding solutions and not for our usual blame games. As the chairman of your party, I would like to clearly say that, as Harry Truman once said, the buck stops here. The first cause has been the dysfunctionality of the SPLM at all levels of governance, that is national, state, county, Payam, and Boma in our country. Because the SPLM General Secretariat has not been able to establish a robust network of party operatives at all levels, and through which the national leadership would have had a 2-way communication with the masses of South Sudan. Moreover, such a network would have had enabled the SPLM as a ruling party to provide effective oversight on both executive and legislature at the national, state, county, Payam, and Boma levels. The consequences, my dear comrades, of the dysfunctionality of the SPLM General Secretariat were the widespread indiscipline within the party. This indiscipline, in turn, led to unnecessary power struggle within the political bureau, and thereby pushing the party and the country into this senseless war that we have just ended. And I want to say here that, you know, when I signed the peace agreement on this table, those who were here, I said to the leaders of IGAD that this agreement is not good, it's not a good agreement, but I have to sign it for the sake of the people of South Sudan. And I repeated it here several times, because the people who designed the agreement, it was designed that we come and reject it, we don't sign it. And so that they do what they want to do to the people of South Sudan. And so I said, okay, let me swallow my pride. And then I signed the agreement. I cannot come and throw them into the ocean at the last minute, when I have fought for 21 years because of these people. I cannot be the cause of their death. So the war was uncalled for, because if it is a matter of who should lead, we are now sitting down here. We should have sat down and we discuss of what we should do. The war has been very costly in terms of the loss of precious lives, property, and our own dignity as leaders and people in the eyes of the whole world. To point out the obvious, we have squandered much of international goodwill and over the years of our struggle against northern operation. the dysfunctionality of the General Secretariat has also led to the emergence of communal entities which have crowded out the SPLM from the political space. All of you now, you know, every day there are meetings. The Greater Fulan, the Greater Fulan, the Community Fulan. No, we did not have them. You initiated all these things, you encouraged tribalism. And so, instead of being the vehicles of lobbying for the advancement of communal welfare and culture, they have become political enclaves within the SPLM. Some of our comrades have abandoned illegitimate channels within our party and embarked on expressing political opinions on matters of national interests from these communities organizations. Moreover, the communal entities have become instruments for seeking appointments in the government and other institutional positions. This practice must stop today and not tomorrow. Allow me, compatriots, to say that I have started to address this cause through the restructuring of the General Secretariat. In this regard, I have appointed a new Deputy Secretary General and new secretaries. I have also introduced a new element to the General Secretariat, which did not exist before. That is by appointing technical advisors to the General Secretariat. The SPLM in the near future will also involve its cadres in the academia and civil society with various expertise in the activities of the party. These experts will provide technical backstopping to the Secretary General in the effective performance of the General Secretariat and the party in general. Again, I take this opportunity to appreciate the critical role of our intellectuals during the liberation struggle. The intellectuals were the eighth front during the War of Liberation. I appeal to them again to join us in renewing the SPLM through the effective utilization of their abundant skills and knowledge in building our nation. Your Excellencies, the second cause is tribalism, which has created a sense of marginalization and ethnic-based injustice. This cause is also being reinforced by the communal entities. I would like to say that at this juncture, tribalism is just a cancer which is threatening to kill our nation-building project. It creates unequal opportunities between the various tribes and our clans who are the pillars of our nation-building project. I am aware that some of our tribes or ethnic groups feel marginalized today in their own country by their own government. You would recall that when Southerners took up arms in August 1955, it was because of marginalization by Khartoum government. And when we again took up arms on May 16, 1983, and embarked on the war of liberation, it was because of the marginalization of the majority of Sudanese people by a tiny minority in Khartoum. In this regard, and as your chairman, I will ensure that together with you, this practice must come to an end by revisiting the SPLM coherent package of political ideals. Let us restore the vision and mission of the SPLM. Our vision this time around is the liberation of the mindsets of South Sudanese people, which is embedded in tribalism. This liberation must start with those of us in the SPLM. Our mission remains the same, as stated in the 1998 SPLM program, constitution and vision document, which I quote. Our mission is the establishment of good governance, which according to UNDP definitions is the exercise of political, economic, and administrative authority in the management of the country's affairs at all levels, and is a people base so that individuals and groups have an effective say in the allocation and management of resources and in decisions that affect their own lives. The above stated mission is now more than relevant, is more relevant than before. I would therefore urge all delegates to this extraordinary convention to internalize it. You would recall again that my executive order number 36 of 2nd October 2015 was in response to the long-awaited demand of our people who felt their government was too far from them. Hence, the SPLM enduring mission guided me when I issued that executive order. I subsequently appointed the governors of 28 states on Christmas Eve as a gift for our people. Well, if there is anybody who thinks that 28 states will spoil the peace agreement, I don't think that it will happen, because we are committed to the implementation of the agreement. And those who would want the order to be revoked, I would ask them politely to go to the streets or to the capital of these states to go and revoke the order, but not me. I was not, my dear compatriots, acting in an ideological vacuum. I acted within the SPLM coherent package of political ideals, such as taking towns to the people in the rural areas, and peace through development, an SPLM strategic framework for war to peace transition. These political ideals are guided by our core values of justice, liberty, and prosperity, which are described inscribed in our national coat of arms, including the national anthem. Therefore, while I acknowledge that some comrades might have different opinion over the number of states established, I am sure that all SPLM members agreed on the principle of taking towns and services to the people. Taking government closer to the people in the rural areas would definitely alleviate people's suffering by bringing basic services to them. It would enhance transparency and accountability, since the SPLM organs at the respective levels of government would have an effective participation in equitable allocation of resources as well as their efficient management. The second key element of the mandate of the coming government is the attainment of sustainable peace and security in our country. Well, I did not come here to respond to any statement which was issued before, but I want to remind Comrade Taban that yes, you know, guns are silent, but we know when we were fighting that SPLA-IO was not in any area here in Equatoria, all the states of Equatoria. But now there is much rooming of arms bandits who claim to be part of SPLA-IO. And I say that if these are the people to continue to fight us when we have signed the agreement and we want to implement the agreement and they come to fight, like now, how many people have died on Juba Yei Road? And how many people have died on Juba Nimule Road and Juba Karakaji Road? Why are these people, why are they killing innocent civilians and they just take their properties? No, these are not IO forces. If they were IO forces, their command should have given them orders to cease fire. As long as these people are fighting, attacking vehicles on the roads, I will not stop my forces from hunting them down like rats, wherever they go.